Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October sky.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the wild, wacky world of the Bubba Show. Have the markets, can you recover? Did the weekend give you a recovery of what was happening last week? I mean, what a week that we had. Unbelievable. Volatility seems to be back as they are whipping around the world. I can't tell you how. Actually, I'm very excited about it because I love volatility, and I want you to love it too. Embrace what's going on because it is a trader. It will give you many, many more opportunities to get involved, and that's what trading's about, is the more you can trade but not overtrade, the better off that you're going to be. But you know, I'll tell you, what a week that was. But I think the biggest question I want to ask, and I'm going to ask all my guests today as well, is what about this intervention? Why is it that every day some jackass, whether it be the People's Bank of China, whether it be Dudley, Lockhart, or any one of them, has to come out and say something that creates a stock market rally? When did the Fed become the stock market? When did the Fed become the king of the banks? Now, we know what they do, but they are, in my opinion, and I have no basis except that I know that somehow Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan and a bunch of the others got information early before the last Fed minutes. When did this banking cartel, this drug-infested money, come out, and we have to now give an advantage to the guys who have all the money to begin with? You have to tell me, where is the fair and equal balance when you are taking care of your banker buddies and giving them information ahead of time? Now, I don't know how they got it. I don't know the whole story, but it has been written about. And then we have the next latest thing, which is, well, if you were working stops on your ETFs, then it was your fault for working stops. Now, those of you who know and listen all the time know that we encourage you that if the market is going to make a gigantic move, that you take your stops out. Anyways, however, here's the problems of when you eliminate all human life from a market, okay, and everything is traded by a computer, although humans are pushing the buttons, but basically the algorithms and everything else that's being traded, you find out that the average investor once again gets it stuck in the old with a red hot poker. Now, why is that? Well, you know, back in the day, and not that long ago, but back in the day, stocks used to have what they called an opening rotation. They had a real price discovery opening to tell you where markets should open. You didn't have the flash crash. You didn't have what we had here. Now, we had plenty of big down days and plenty of big up days, but we didn't have the problems that the algorithms and the computers create because there's nobody there to bring in equilibrium. Okay, the computers just start trading and they start bombing away, and down they went. So people got stopped out of orders that they were working. And I mean, I know people that got stopped out of Facebook, you know, they had a stop order at 82 and got stopped out at 75. I mean, they had a stop in Apple at 100 and got stopped out at 91 or 92. Are you kidding me? That would never happen if you had bodies, if you had human beings making true price discovery and not computers running over everybody. Okay, now again, I believe that the electronic trading, the high frequency, is good for the retail consumer. However, I still believe there should be a normal opening rotation where we get real people making markets to open. Because without it, you're going to see more of the debacles. And that then created a slowdown with the electronic brokerages. Now, you know, again, that is another problem that is now created for all of us, because that then brought down a lot of trading ability, and nobody who was trading retail could have gotten stocks at those low levels, because we are not fast enough, and we are, as a retail trader, microseconds behind the high frequency. That's why you have to have a regular opening rotation, and I believe that the computers should be left off during opening rotations, especially when the markets are going to make an extremely large move on the opening, because they do not provide a fair and equal playing field when that's happening. And again, they have stuck it once again to the retail investor. Mom and pop got slammed by Goldman and those guys, because they have the technology, they have the money, and quite frankly, they could give a rat's ass about anybody about how much money they make, because, you know, they got to make sure they get their bonuses. And to me, that creates the bigger problem in what's going on. So you tie in, and again, this is my opinion, this is not fact. Part of it is, I will tell you what's fact, I'll tell you what's my opinion. I believe, as an opinion, that the big banks control the Fed versus the other way around. That's my opinion. I believe that it is a raw deal that the average consumer gets from the Federal Reserve. I don't care how much the stock market has gone up, they have not taken care of the masses, because the masses are not involved in the stock market. So what they've done is they've sucked everybody in, because you have to chase yield. They have pigeonholed you into being a equity investor versus giving you the freedom of choice. That's my opinion. My opinion is that Obama is trying to turn this country into Marxist communism or socialism, because that's the way he wants to believe, and he's sticking it to everybody as well. The most antagonistic president in the history, the president with the least amount of business experience and the least amount of people around him that have any clue. That's a fact. The fact is that the Federal Reserve, they have no clue on what it does to take a business, run a business. That's a fact. They are continually working on theory. Okay. Now, you and I, all of us know one thing, that theory does not work in times of crisis. Okay. You can't get emotional. The old commercial, never let them see you sweat. These guys are sweating bullets all the time because they have no idea what they're doing. And in my opinion, they have no idea where they're going. And I think that's the problem. So you combine all those problems around, you combine in the total intervention and manipulation between the People's Bank of China, between the Euro, the Euro central banks, the Fed, and you have one big Ponzi scheme, and that's a fact. This is a Ponzi scheme. You can look at it any way you want. You can say, no, you're nuts. This is a Ponzi scheme, because all they are trying to do is finance debt and continue to bring down everything else. It makes no sense. The entire situation has become, I'd like to say comical, but it's sad that this is what we've become, when we could have been so much better, and we could have been out of this and flourishing at this time, instead of sweating bullets and the middle class still being stuck in the recessionary period that they've never come out of. And to me, that also sucks. But what doesn't suck is that the Bubba Report is out, and I want you to have it. You need to go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for it. It's $99 a year, and if you're missing out on that, you are missing out on some of the best information from some of the best traders, investors, and knowledgeable people in the world. But we're going to step out here for a break right now. Catch The Bubba Show at libertytalk.fm, especially on demand. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Something to say to you.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it's that time for our friend Jane King, the Ka-Ching Report, Lila Max Media, and an all-about star and one of my favorites. What's up, Jane King?
Hey, Todd. Good morning. Boy, it's been a crazy week, huh?
I'm telling you, it's been unbelievable. Now, you know, I want to hit you on a couple of things. You know, you're a pro. You've been around. You've been in this business. And not only have you been on the reporting side, but you're in the business side. I mean, you're building a business, and you got everything going on. Now, we had, obviously, on Monday, there was these dramatic moves, and you saw stocks like Facebook go to 92 and Facebook go to 72. But now there's a whole big bugaboo about that the ETFs were screwed up because of the way they open and because of the way they price out. And they're now blaming the individual investor for having stops working on their ETFs. What's your thought, if you have one, about that?
Well, everybody's blaming everybody for what happened on Monday. The Chinese are blaming the U.S. and the Federal Reserve, and we're blaming the Chinese, and people here are blaming the ETFs, and everybody's blaming everybody else for what happened. I mean, look, I mean, this is just kind of the way markets work. I mean, we have been on a six-year rally, Fed-led rally, by the way. We've seen China just go nuts this year in its stock market. I mean, a correction was not unexpected to be happening in China. I mean, it was fast and it was severe and scary. But, I mean, you just can't have 80% gains year after year. So I just think this is actually quite natural. The market's just correcting themselves. You know, I had lunch with them. I call them the old-timers on Wall Street. You know, some of them still stock exchange, some of them aren't, but they're all still very involved. And, you know, nobody really talked about the ETF situation or anything like that. I always love going to have lunch with these guys and talking about what's going on. They did have some things to say, interestingly, about how Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan control the Federal Reserve, which is an interesting topic that I think your average person might be interested in hearing about at some point.
Well, you know, I know you don't get to listen all the time because you're busy and a lot of time you're sleeping when I'm on air, but I have said that the Fed is nothing but a banking cartel for the big guys, and I think that's more proving out now than ever. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what they were saying, and you know, that's just that kind of situation. I mean, I guess it's just human nature that when you get all these powerful forces together, they all try to protect each other. But it's not good. And, you know, people, you know, they listen to the Fed. Their retirements are directly impacted by what the Federal Reserve does. I mean, well, and their impact on monetary policy. I mean, William Dudley says two words, less compelling. And we see the market rally 400 points. So, you know, again, the little guy, you know, is just kind of controlled by what the powerful people are doing.
Now, you've been in the business for many, many years. Were you ever in some of those like jobs number type things where you guys, where the media gets the numbers first and then you got time to put your stories together and then report?
No. What we would typically do on those big market days is you can write about 90% of your story. You know, for example, the jobs numbers will be coming out at 8:30 a.m. You can say, like, we know what the expectations are. So, you know, you get those are public information, say that we expect 250,000 jobs added in a particular month. So you can write, oh, analysts expected this. This is what we did last month. If the number would come out here, you can do a lot of research ahead of time. So you can know ahead of time if the number comes in as projected, that's going to be a six-year low, for example. Or, you know, you can put it into context, but the actual numbers, I mean, whether they're jobs numbers, GDP numbers, crop numbers, I never got any of that information ahead of time, and I don't know anybody who ever did. Now, you'd see sometimes it's interesting. You'd see some market movements ahead of the numbers released, like substantial movements, and there was always suspicion that somebody was getting some numbers early. But I don't think it's ever been proven by the SEC or if they've ever been able to pin it down. But as a media person, no, never got the numbers ahead of time.
Yeah, no, I know that sometimes I know that they, I guess the big numbers, they bring them into a room. You can't bring any phones. You can't bring any communications. Mm-hmm. And they,
I think they even have the windows. Like, there's no windows. It's, like, super secretive.
But so Jane, let me ask you this now. You know, everything we seem to do now, the markets only make big moves when somebody intervenes. You know, you mentioned Lockhart and Dudley making comments, and of course, you know, for the last month or so, all China does is devalue or lower their lending rate. So the only time the market goes up is when we have intervention. Does that have any concern to you? Does that you make you go, why can't we just rally on real information? We have to have somebody intervene, which to me is a much bigger problem altogether. But what do you think?
No, I totally agree with that. I mean, this is a kind of recent phenomenon. I mean, we've really only seen huge government intervention since the financial crisis in 2008. And, I mean, I was thinking about that this morning. I mean, now that the pension funds are investing in Chinese stocks, they have some other things up their sleeve they could possibly do. Government buying apparently might have been behind the rallies that we've seen in Chinese shares this week. And I'm just like, you know, at some point, you have to just let your market go. And, you know, maybe they'll be forced to do that. Maybe the market will force them to. But at some point, it has to operate on what a market is supposed to operate on, whether it's earnings or if it's, you know, it's earnings, it's profits, it's productivity, it's innovation. I mean, this can't go on forever. And we saw the market this week calling for QE4. I mean, it's just, you know, and when we heard Dudley speak and when we heard some talk that maybe, you know, the Fed would come in or the Chinese are coming in, we saw the market rally. And, I mean, how long can that go on? I mean, it's a new phenomenon, and it can't be sustained forever.
It's absurd, in my opinion, that we have to do that. It's also absurd, in my opinion, that the Fed basically day trades the stock market. I mean, at some point, you have to rip the Band-Aid off, and I know they're not going to raise rates, but the truth of the matter is they should be raising rates, and they should raise them every meeting from now on, because the only way they're going to provide real liquidity and a real capitalistic system, which is what we are, hopefully. I hope we're not going to become socialists or Marxists that Obama's trying to make us be. But if you don't do that, how are we going to ever get any real growth? Because you've shut down real innovation from small people. From the
exactly.
Entrepreneurs, and you've shut down. Look, it's like shutting down Steve Jobs before he was Apple. It's like shutting down, you know, Mark Zuckerberg. It's like shutting down all these guys. How do we get the Fed to say maybe they're right? Maybe they do know what they're talking about. Maybe we don't know what we're talking about, and we need to do something. What do you think about all that?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, they're shutting down the animal spirits, which is what entrepreneurialism is all about. I was having lunch also. I had a couple lunches this week. Very interesting. I was having lunch with a European guy on Wednesday. He's a finance professor, done some TV market research and things like that. And we were talking in particular about small cap stocks in Europe. And he said, we just don't really have a lot of activity going on there because he said family and owns a lot of the major German companies. I mean, you've seen Porsche, BMW still, you know, family-owned companies. He said there's a couple of, you know, things going on in London, but the whole innovative atmosphere in Europe is just not happening. And they have been, I feel like President Obama is trying to get us to be more like Europe in terms of our economy. But what you do in the process is you shut down great ideas. You make it hard to start businesses. You make it hard to take risk. And that's where we're headed in the U.S. I don't think the general public really understands how important that is.
Oh, no. I mean, it's incredibly important because, look, we were built on that idea. Listen, if our founding fathers never, you know, created the Revolutionary War, we wouldn't have what we have. I mean, you know, we don't want to be socialists and Marxists and communists. We want a free economy, and I don't see a free economy right now. I mean, again, I don't know what your opinion is of that, but I do not see a free economy today.
Well, there's, I mean, gosh, we could talk about this for an hour. I mean, of course, you've got the federal government intervention. That's one thing, which, you know, I said all along. In 2008, 2009, I got it, you know. And I actually even, I wasn't totally for the auto bailout, but now that it's been over, my hometown in Indiana, big auto industry town, that town is, like, better than ever. And so, okay, the automaker thing, I get now, even though I wasn't totally for it. I was certainly for, you know, Paulson and Bernanke and what those guys did in late 2008. But everything after that, to me, just seems like it's just ways of lulling us all into some false sense of comfort. And it's all going to come home to roost someday.
We all got our little binky now, so we can be, you know, the baby's crying, so give him his little binky. This has been my friend Jane King. The Ka-Ching Report, Lila Max Media. You can see her coast to coast on a zillion different networks. She's becoming the next biggest thing in the business. Jane King, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Todd.
And Jane King, and of course, this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, and the Bubba Report is out. Make sure you get your copy. $99 a year gets it to you. Go to thebubbashow.org right now. Sign up for it. Get yourself in with the winners. The Bubba Show, thebubbashow.org. Todd Bubba Horwitz. We'll be back right after the break.
You're so delicious. You're so.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, and it is that time, Mike McClone time, ETF Securities. What's up, Mr. McClone?
Hey, Todd. Thanks for having me back.
Hey, listen, you know, when you can make calls like you make, I got to have you back. And you have said for quite a while, be careful, say thank you very much. And, of course, last week we had an unbelievable week. We had Monday, the markets opened down 1,000 and ended up off 500. And Tuesday they are up huge, and all of a sudden late in the day they collapse. And of course Wednesday they tried to do the same thing as they did on Tuesday, but they tried it earlier, a little bit of a bear trap, I think. And of course they ran them up 600. And Thursday looked like crazy action. And Friday, what are you thinking here, man?
Well, I guess that's the key question. Now what? And I think the key word you used was a bear trap, because at least initially, we've had the best correction since the 2011 debt crisis when S&P downgraded to Uncle Sam's debt. And you know, in a correction, you're supposed to be a buyer. The problem is back then, you know, that was right in the aftermath of the equity plunge from 2008-09. Stocks are really cheap. The difference now is we've just had this historic equity market rally, and initially, for a trader standpoint, yeah, it was a good buying opportunity. But that bear trap word you just used, I think, is what I'm really worried about, because we had such a sharp sell-off and such a sharp recovery. The market needs to just a little bit of background. When it broke down Friday at the end of, you know, the third week of August, that was options expiration, and oftentimes that will exaggerate things. So my fear is it exaggerated the breakdown. People hit a lot of stops, and what you're supposed to look for where that market broke down from is the first good resistance. And so far we've gotten there and it's held, and that's what worries me. So I'll give you that in terms of the world's most widely traded ETF is SPY, the Spider ETF, and that broke down from the area around 200 to 205. And so far, the high this week and after hours, the high, you know, would be last week and after hours, was just below that 200 level. So my fear is that in the bigger picture, you know, we've had this long-term, this very extended period of above-average returns and very low volatility. Now we should be in for an extended period of below-average returns and high volatility. I'm just afraid that those levels and SPY 200 to 205 are the key solid resistance, and you know we should be working against those, at least from a trader standpoint. From an investment standpoint, you know, just have to be a little bit more prudent, and we just can't expect to get these easy returns that we had for the last 5 years.
Well, I don't know. It depends. If you were short, they weren't so easy either. But so, you know, I look around and I keep seeing, you know, every expert comes on and says how great everything is. And I keep saying, well, if everything is so great, why do we have to continually have the People's Bank of China, the Fed, and every one of these guys come out and make a statement? If everything is great, wouldn't the market just do what they're supposed to do instead of having to have intervention constantly?
Well, I think that's, to me, is a key point as an analyst. And I've always used those type of things to say, okay, if they're so great, then what do you really mean by that? So let's give you some first good examples. To me, the foundation for what's happening now is what almost all the major analysts got wrong in 2014. And that was at the beginning of 2014, the consensus was that bond yields are going to go up because we're going to finally get inflation, and that commodity prices were going to go up because it's, you know, this whole world is starting to recover. Those major consensus views are completely wrong. And so to me, what does that mean? And that's what's happening this year, is that all those people were wrong, and now this is the reciprocation. This is the next iteration. And the next iteration is, what's the main consensus this year? Oh, the Fed's going to tighten, the U.S. economy is going to recover. And to me, that's the main thing we have to think that's probably going to end up not happening, because the market, you know, consensus is going to be wrong. So here's what I mean by that, is the key reason for the Fed to not tighten, I think, is there's just no signs of inflation. In fact, the bigger picture, what you've seen with stock markets collapsing and commodities collapsing, is that's disinflation. And the Fed should never consider, in fact, tightening an environment. Historically, they'd have to provide liquidity. So what's happened recently? The Bank of China just lowered rates, and they lowered the reserve ratio. The ECB just said, we will be there to add more liquidity. So the rest of the world said, they looked at this, and they said, oh, we got to add more liquidity. And the Fed says, maybe we'll hang out for a little bit. So that is an overhang, I think, for U.S. equity investors. Because to me, there's a direct correlation. Now, if the equity market takes off to all-time, you know, to new highs, and the VIX drops again to 13, then we should be expecting Fed tightening. And the only way, to me, the really main reason to get the Fed tightening off our backs is for the equity market to go down, unfortunately. So it's almost a lose-lose, at least in the short term, but we'll see. Now, that's something we've talked about for months. In addition, there's been signs that earnings have been deteriorating, which means if you are going to, you know, investing in stocks, is you have to look for good investments that will beat the indexes and get good earnings, and you just have to be very careful and nimble. And like we both said, diversify, be careful. There's nothing wrong with cash, at least for now.
Well, I mean, again, I look and I look and I go, why should I be bullish? Well, I mean, what would make me believe that we've built an air bubble? Okay. I mean, again, we can say whatever we want, but we've built an air bubble. Everybody has to wait to see, you know, this week it was Lockhart who had to come out. And you've got, you know, all these things, all these factors. But the true growth, I mean, I know the GDP came out of 3.7. I will bet any number that anybody wants that that number gets revised later. I don't believe that it was a true 3.7 growth. What do you think?
Yeah, those numbers are notorious for being revised. And which way they're revised, it doesn't really matter. Plus, it was a major snapback from Q1 GDP, which is very poor. And that one's the key thing that keeps concerning me, is now we're in this mode that every time it's winter time, GDP drops because it's winter time. And like, is that, people are forgetting the fact, that's really never happened? Is our winters that bad, or is the economy that weak that we have to just expect that? So I'm very fearful. But to me, the key indicators remain as things you and I discussed. Yes, the employment data looks great. That's wonderful. It's better to have 5.3% unemployment based on the data we see than 10%. But if you look at the money, and that is retail sales, that's the thing that really concerns me the most. Retail sales in this country, and if you measure it over a 12-month basis, have been declining, and as we've mentioned, since 2011. And right now, they're running 2.3% on an annual basis, which is the same level that retail sales were in June of 2008. And that wasn't the best of times. So that trend down scares me. Now, the good news is energy prices have collapsed, and that should help spending, but it hasn't yet. And that's what's still concerning me. So the bigger picture is, yeah, the Fed wants to normalize, but if you're an equity investor, you have to be very concerned what normalization means. Because QE really helped the rally. Normalization means they're concerned about, as they've said, excessive risk taking.
Well, now, you can talk about all you want about how the lower gas prices are going to help, but unfortunately, because the jobs number is not really reported correctly, because they keep track of it in a very unusual way, and because they refuse to use the U6, a true unemployment is about 14%, and that's the people that are working. And the way that numbers are calculated, if you worked one day in a three-month period, you're considered employed. So I don't see the real job growth. I can't grasp my head around real job growth. Why am I wrong?
Well, I'm not new. I won't say you're wrong at all. And to me, to back you up is, if we've had real job growth and re-employment and people are working that much, then that really should show up in the money. Consumer spending, retail sales, I should see some good solid trends higher, yet they've been trending down forever, for years. That's what really concerns me. But we are at 0% interest rate. So to me, it's going to be about what the Fed's going to do. For now, they're backed off. But if the equity market keeps going down, the Fed will probably stay away. They shouldn't tighten. They know that. If the equity market goes up, they'll probably tighten, which is, you know, kind of a scary, you know, it means it's a bit of a headwind.
Well, I mean, they shouldn't be day trading the stock market anyways, but now the Gallup says that the true unemployment based on their information is 6.7% and longer term unemployment is 18%. What do you say to their poll?
Well, it makes a lot of sense, and it depends on how you measure it. But as you know, I know the labor participation rate is the lowest in almost my lifetime. And I grew up and was born in the 60s, but, you know, it's pretty darn low. And there's just, you know, a lot of people dropping out. And if you're not, so overall, that number makes a lot of sense based on the data you see from labor participation, from retail sales. It's just not showing that organic demand, a complete lack of real demand pull inflation. And by that, I mean, that should be showing up in the bond market, and it's not.
Well, no, and it hasn't done so for quite a while. So we'll see how that is, but we're going to step out here for a break. And, you know, as we get ready to step out for a break, I want to remind everybody that, you know, it's been a long couple of days here, and markets have been challenging, but make sure that you get yourself involved with the right setups and the right people and Thinkorswim. They are the right setup and the right people. They are built by traders for traders. And my friends in Canada, you got to get to me, baby. Bubba at thebubbashow.org. You want to get the right rates? You want to get hooked up? I can take care of you and get you hooked up. Remember this, the Bubba Report is out. It is going to be in your hands. You want the insight. You want to know what's going on in the future. But you want to know now. When you get the Bubba Report, it's like getting tomorrow's newspaper today. Because we have the best staff of writers that tell you what's going on the way they see it from over 200 years of watching markets work. And no matter what the conditions are, no matter what people say that they've never seen this before, our guys have seen it all. And all you can do is get the Bubba Report to get that information. And again, for $99 a year, go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for that. And if you want to catch Bubba anytime you want, libertytalk.fm on demand. Make sure you check out that website, because the Bubba Show is there waiting for you when you want to get it. And make sure, you check out thebubbashow.org, as we're writing about things months before they happen. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will be back right after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
After 10,000 beers and 28 years.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my man, Mike McClone from ETF Securities. So, Mike, you know, the week last week, of course, there's a big stink about ETFs. And, of course, you guys make, I believe, the best ETFs for the precious metal space. And there's a lot of stuff going on in the news about how the ETF screwed up and people got cheated and all that other kind of stuff. But I know you guys were pretty clean on that whole thing. And tell us what you saw happen and what you're thinking.
Yeah, overall, we were fine. And our most notable ETFs are in this country are precious metals. They're physically backed, so they're straightforward and in simple as you get. For instance, a gold ETF, if gold's up 1%, the ETF is up 1%, unless there's a small expense ratio, which is 0.6% on an annual basis. That's it. No difference. And it's how it has to be. The thing is, what I've noticed, there's been some major shifts in this precious metals, gold, dichotomy. The things that have been driving the gold bear sentiment for the last 2-3 years, I think, have really shifted. And those are key things like the Fed tightening expectations. Those seem to be coming out. The dollar rally. This rally in the stock and the U.S. dollar, since the dollar peaked in 2011, actually people haven't really noticed, in March, the dollar's actually been declining, so that might be over. The stock market rally looks like it might be over. Plunging crude oil. Crude oil has been collapsing. It looks like it's finally bottomed around 34, and there's very low VIX. So a lot of these things that have been bearish for gold, I think, have shifted just this last couple weeks. One thing that we've noticed lately, there's been pretty good flows into gold ETFs, and that's impressive, because those flows have really been coincident with price, meaning when the price goes down, the flows have been out. When the price goes up, the flows have been in. And the price of gold has been down the latter half of this week, yet gold ETFs flows have been positive. So I'm sensing a sentiment shift in the gold and silver markets.
I think gold's been a little bit under pressure because I think China's been selling a lot of gold, because I still believe that China's been selling it out the front door and accumulating it in the back door. And you know how those communist countries can be. They can do a lot of things that not normal people can't do. But what about silver? I mean, silver's been, we both like silver, but it's been a little bit under pressure. And is that because not only is it considered a precious metal, but because it's an industrial metal and because the industrials have slowed down quite a bit?
Yes. In fact, I heard your interview on Kitco, and that's what you said, and it makes a lot of sense. I've been a bit been disappointed with silver. It got down to near 14 last week, and it's just a market that looks incredibly cheap to me. But the key thing to remember about silver is you look at the entire commodity complex. Silver is more industrial, so it's more related to the rest of the commodities versus gold, its store of value and historic. The entire commodity complex, like the Bloomberg Commodity Index this year, is down 16%. And yet silver is only down about 8%. Now, that's not good, but it's impressively resilient. So I think when at some point this commodity market collapses, probably half the bottom, and that'll probably be led by oil. We both know oil is pretty cheap. Silver should be one of the best performers, also because it's known as money. It's a store of value. And you look at some of the demand figures for silver, they're very impressive. India. Now, imports of silver into India are now almost the highest levels ever, above last year's levels, and taking in one-third of global supply. U.S. mint coin silver sales are off the charts, all-time new highs. Last year was a record. The year before was a record. This year is running at record pace. So the elastic demand for silver is very strong. And if there's a market that looks like it can bounce and, who knows, double in a short period of time, that's the one. It's just, you never can pick bottoms. It's just at levels that I think are very attractive. Unfortunately, it's been kind of tough holding on, but there's things that are very cheap, and you look at other assets that are very expensive. Silver and gold, certainly silver looks one of the cheapest assets out there. The question is, how much lower can it go before it does recover back to what most people consider more fair value?
Well, I'm in big agreement with you about the precious metals, and this is what I suggest, and I want your opinion on it, but I tell people, look, you're not buying silver or gold to day trade it, basically. You're buying it, especially if you're buying an ETF, you're buying it for a little bit longer term hold. And I think that right at these levels is probably a good spot to buy a little bit. If you're going to invest $10,000 into gold and into silver, buying a couple of grand here is probably a good idea. And if it goes lower, be prepared that you're going to buy it lower and average down. And if it happens to be the bottom, then you'll buy it the correct way, which is on the way back up. What do you think?
Oh, great. I mean, we're supposed to be supposed to be buying selectively, and people call it dollar cost averaging, but that's kind of a more complicated word. Absolutely, I agree. And there's very few better, protectors against currency debasement or inflation, if we ever get that. But what's happening with the U.S. debt? We all know what's going on there. It's silver's real money, and it's also much more cost effective. Like, I love these silver eagles. They're great to give for gifts. You pick them up for maybe $16, $17, and I fully expect that at some point within the next 10 years, those will double or triple. yet they're going to hold their value. They're only so much lower they can go. And by the way, if they do continue to go lower, I mean, this whole global economic situation is wonderful. We were able to balloon our debt and never get any inflation and pay it off. That would be wonderful, but it's a good hedge diversifier against a lot of the things that are going on. And, you know, the Congressional Budget Office put out their latest report. And if you think that's great, our deficit this year is only going to be $400 billion, but that's after 6 years of a growing economy. What's going to happen when we do finally get, and I didn't say if, when we do finally get a little bit of a recession and all these entitlements kick in? So bigger picture, I think silver at these levels is very attractive. And if you look at a long-term chart, the low from, you know, the crisis in 2008 was right around 8. You know, we're in a crisis now. So it's crisis lows. And I think it's, you know, really should recover initially back to near 20. It's just a question of when. And question of how low it goes, I don't really know that. But 20 is kind of the first good, I would say, revision resistance level.
What do you mean you don't know? You know everything, man. You're the guy. Now, so, and I agree. Look, I own silver, and I think that it's a great play here. I think, again, you know, you want to build your portfolio, you know, more on a stable basis and not be involved in all the fluctuations because, you know, you have to be kind of balanced. You know, again, if you're trading actively, that's one thing. But if you're investing, which most of you are, the key is to be balanced throughout your entire portfolio, is it not?
Agreed. Yeah.
So, Mike, what do you think? What do you see? Okay, going forward, let's hear. I say no rate raise this year at all. There's no chance, in my opinion. What do you see going forward? What's your take of the next, let's say, 6 months?
A period of higher volatility and subpar returns, following up the period of low volatility and excessive returns in the equity market. It would be a dream to me. This is the thing I've been saying all year, and I agree with it. The Fed tightening is a dream with the Nasdaq sustaining above 5,000. So far, neither of those have happened, which is what we predicted. That would be the dream. I don't think it's going to be happening. It'd be wonderful. I just don't think we're ready for it. And I think the Fed could tighten, but I'm very worried that that would be a mistake. Right now, it looks like we're back to this whole period we had of almost 5 years, well, 4 years, 5 years of wonderful returns and low volatility. It looks like that period's over. We should expect that the period be over. And by the way, if the equity market starts going back up, we should, it's more likely to get Fed tightening. That's a headwind we have to look forward to. So my thought is, just don't be expecting those type of returns in equities. There's going to be some good opportunities to buy equities, and I think we've got some great products for that. But just be nimble and make sure you focus on products that are designed to maybe get a little bit better returns than the overall market, and be diversified. And I really think we're seeing a bottom in the precious metals. So I'm kind of more biased towards gold and silver, and I still like the bond market. And one thing about the bond market, it didn't go down. The good news is it just didn't go up as much as I thought, is because China's been selling their treasuries. The question is how long that lasts. But to me, the bond market still is very attractive in the U.S., partly because if I'm wrong there, it means we finally got some really real good inflation. That would be wonderful. Right now, we're still a disinflation environment, and bonds should trade better also because you get almost double the return in U.S. bonds than you get in the rest of the world, and I mean treasury bonds.
Mike McClone, you're awesome. ETF Securities, thank you very much, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
And Mike always brings a great bit of knowledge and information with no emotion. Really calm, a calming influence. Make sure you check out ETF Securities, etfsecurities.com. I will tell you this, they have the best ETFs for the precious metal space that you can ever imagine. That's Mike McClone at etfsecurities.com. This is the Bubba Show. The Bubba Report is out. If you're not getting your copy, it's $99 a year, 12 issues at least, giving you complete details of what's happening, what's going to happen. You're making a mistake. Go to thebubbashow.org and get signed up for that now. They get Bubba on demand. You can do that at libertytalk.fm. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horvitz. That'll do it for today, everybody. Have a great day. Thank you so much. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same station. Take care, everybody. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horvitz.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.